Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Raised in Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. I'm excited. I've got two guys that I've known for, I want to say a bazillion years. I don't want to say that because they're slightly older than me, but it's just I've been actually working with knowing these guys since, 1994?
Yeah, you were 21, I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, believe it or not, I was actually 23.
Oh, 23.
So you're pretty close. And I was fresh out of college at that time, mm-hmm. and I was actually an intern working for John Lynch.
Right.
And we were ACS back in those days. And for those who don't know, that would be Advanced Cardiovascular System for those who go back as old as all of us at that point. Because I think I didn't end up doing 22 years at the company before I got let go. And you guys were already there, you know, close to almost 7 to 10 when I came in 94.
I started right around 80.
80?
81.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were already almost 12, 13 years before I got there.
Yeah.
So let me do the proper introductions. So we have Leroy Rodericks in here, great friend of mine. Ray Ben Gann, another set of great friends of mine. And the purpose of this show, we've been working with a series called, Owning Our Place in History, History in the Making. And I wanted to bring in some more people that I knew, men that I loved, and men that I respected, men that I've learned so much from. These gentlemen have probably taught me more about telecommunications, wire, and cable than they probably have forgotten what they've taught me and what they've already known over these years because they've had such a vast knowledge. And it's not just the telecommunications knowledge, it's life skills, life knowledge. And I don't think you guys really understand what and how you've impacted not just my life, but my family's life. Because you guys knew me before I had kids. You guys knew me before I got married. You able to kind of see me change and grow from this crazy little kid came out of college who thought he knew whatever. I never can remember the wire diagram. So I was calling you guys, hey, what's that pin out again? You know, how many times are you going to call me? Are you going to go write it down? Well, you know, you remember what that pin out diagram was again? I just can't remember. But to where we are now. And I want to make sure that you guys knew that I appreciated you. There's not too many times in life when you can know people for a while because we're in a disposable lifestyle, culture where you see people come and go. You see people in an area where the jobs come and go and relationships are not always valued like they should be. But I needed to make sure that people like yourself knew. And I think I was really more pissed off. And we're going to let them talk in a minute. I just want to get the whole setup so people understand why we're doing this.
Okay.
When we were coming out of African American History Month in February, again, this will air after February, of course, I was pissed because I saw all these history makers in these black and white pictures. And I was like, I don't know if those pictures were really who they said they were. Because we weren't there back in the 18 whatever, the 16 whatevers. But I needed my kids to know these are some history makers that they knew. These are guys that are making impacts in my kids' life. Because my kids all know you guys from infancy to where they are right now.
Right.
I mean, Ray, our kids played basketball together. I coached your son in basketball, travel basketball. So I know Matt. You know, I've been to both of you guys. In fact, I was getting on you about when you had heart attacks, Leroy. But hey, I need to know. I mean, I may not have Rodericks as a last name, but I have a vested interest in where you guys are health-wise. My father's died last year.
Yes.
And so, you know, I don't have a lot of father figures around that are worth anything in my life. So you are two of those, maybe three that I have, I have three for sure that I can say these are guys that are legitimate folks that pour into my life for the last, almost 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So I need you all to know that I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And I need to make sure when you guys, and answer either one, I don't care who starts first. Do you guys see yourselves as history makers? Not historians, but history makers. Do you see yourselves as that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, like you say, we've taught young kids how to do things, how to go down the right path, stuff like that. So that's kind of history, especially if those kids have gone on to be great people.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got lots of influence sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, but
I do and I don't.
Okay.
I see myself as a history maker and a historian.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite subject. But at the same time, it's not just making history with showing them skills with their hands.
Sure.
Because that seems to be a dying art now.
Yeah.
But trying to instill knowledge and wisdom that the wisdom that Leroy and I have both gained in life, it sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
you don't realize it until you talk to somebody and you help them and you see their eyes well up.
Yeah.
Or you see them happy.
Sure.
So then you realize that you did say the right thing. You showed them the right way.
Yeah.
And those skills are falling by the wayside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so Leroy and I have lunch every other week.
Yeah.
And we now incorporated you into our biweekly event. And so we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
It just becomes natural for us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, we feel our age, but we don't think our age.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. When you just think about where we are, we watch our kids grow. Our kids are different now than a bazillion years ago when I was coming through. Where do you think our kids going to be industry-wise? I mean, because you guys were hands-on guys. You guys are self-made men.
Yeah.
Our kids nowadays aren't like that.
No, they're not. You know, it's like Matt being an engineer, he doesn't actually go out there and wrench a wrench or anything like that or pull a cable. I mean, he's a big bike rider, so he works on his bikes all the time, but mostly all of his stuff is on computers, on blueprints, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Eddie being in the Navy, anymore not being on a sub, he doesn't have hands-on with, so I mean, but I mean, he still likes to do hands-on stuff. I mean, like, ever since he moved back in with us to go to school,
yeah,
he's kind of like, electronically enhanced our house, you know? So, yeah, you know, it's like, the alarm system that he put in. Okay, Dad, we got to do this. We got to run the wires, home runs from the router to the system in the closet. So he climbs up to the attic,
sure,
drills holes, runs wires, you know, terminates them and everything like that, gets everything working. So he still likes doing that stuff. But I listen to some kids some days, they wouldn't know what a RJ11 is from RJ45. Or
they don't even know what anything is.
Yeah.
You know, this is the remote, like, for the TV.
Yeah. So it's kind of a shame. Yeah. They don't work on cars anymore.
No.
You know, it's like, I'm a big fan of car shows.
Yeah.
And you listen to some of these old timers that when a father comes in with a son to have a car done,
yeah,
you know, it's like, wow, that's rare.
Oh, yeah.
You see a son that wants to learn how to work on an automobile with his dad, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, my son Matt, about a month and a half ago, he called me up and says, Dad, I want to go spend a day with you. I have a lot of questions for you.
Yeah.
I says, really? He goes, yeah, I think all of us kids should spend a day with you every so often.
Oh, yeah.
And so he says, I want to do this. So we went up in the mountains for a hike.
Mm-hmm.
And he had questions like, what did you learn from your dad? You know, what do you think your dad learned from his dad? You know, and what do you expect out of me? And no. He had a list of questions. And he asked me every one of them.
Wow.
On this walk.
Wow.
Just to learn about what I have done over my lifetime, what I have learned from my dad, what I took from my dad, stuff like that, you know, and how I felt about my dad, you know, how do you think your dad felt about you, stuff like that. And it was like, wow, no one's ever asked me anything like that before.
That's serious.
You know, that's serious stuff. You know,
it was walking in your head.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, so it's like at the end of the day, he says, wow, Dad, I've just learned a lot just asking you questions about you, your dad, and my grandfather.
Yeah. But he'll never forget those times, right?
No.
Because he'll know more about you, what you were all about, what he, what you wanted from him. He never lacks that. He never had to ever wonder what my dad thought about me.
Mm.
And that's huge for kids.
Yeah. So, and you know, most kids, I don't think most kids even deal with that, or most parents even accept the fact that they should talk to their kids like that, you know? It's like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, he's going to pull me out of my sitting on the couch one day and take me up in the mountains and make me walk.
But you need to walk anyway.
Right? I need to walk. Oh, yeah, I need to walk anyway.
Well, you're that hard of yours.
Go up there with him and his dog, and we just spent a day together. And
yeah,
it's like, it's stuff that I learned that he had in his head that I never knew, And he's, well, gee, Dad, I didn't know that. You know? I didn't know you felt that way, or I didn't know you did that, you know? So it's like, so he can go on, you know, when I'm long gone, he's going to remember. Well, I remember one day when my dad told me this, you know. He's always telling me that I should get a book and write things down that I remember from my childhood or my dad.
All the time.
And,
and then sometimes when I say things that he goes, where did you come up with that? I said, oh, I knew. We used to say that phase in school all the time. You need to write that down. That's pretty cool, you know. So I keep thinking one of these days I'll get one, because he's not the only kid. My daughter's told me that too.
Sure.
Dad, what? You need to write that down.
Well, that's history.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why we talk about, you know, history in the making, because our kids, if we don't know about our fathers, you know, first for having male kids, even with, and I don't have much experience with female kids, because I don't have it. I got all boys. So when you really think about it, once our kids really know what their dad thinks about them, period, male or female, that shapes them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we knew that our dad really loved us and what he thought about us and there was never any question, it takes a whole different view on life.
Yeah.
A whole different view on who there's a person. Like, Matt, for Ray, you have, okay, both of you have larger families. You know, so you have
five.
Four boys and a girl.
Yeah.
Ray, you have
Three boys and a girl.
How do you choose to raise each of them differently?
It's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
Because they're individual people.
Yeah.
I can't talk to my oldest son the same way I talk to my youngest son.
Yeah.
Can't talk to my middle son like I talk to my daughter.
Sure.
They're all individual people. You have to dance a fine line on how you deal with them, because some are easily offended.
Offended, yeah.
And or, that's it. You know, they're individual people, and some will take criticism, some won't.
Yeah.
And depending on... I say it's a delicate balance, because sometimes if you're in a bad mood, you're handing out advice that probably should be put on hold. And so, because at those times, it all just spills out.
Yeah.
And part of the thing that I think Leroy and I are both experiencing is getting that done right away.
Yeah, I hear you. We're going to take a quick break. Again, you're listening to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and I got some great men in studio, Leroy Rodrigues and Ray Van Gan, and we're talking about history in the making. We're talking about raising our children, leaving a legacy, really, is what we're talking about.
Hey, everyone. My name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And we're back to the Raising Men Show. And again, in studio with me, great guys, great men that I've known for, oh God, I hate to even say 30 years, because I'm going to be 50 here in May. We talked about that off air while we were eating, having a hard time with that 5-0
You know, here's the thing, is that you have made us aware of our past also.
Hmm.
Because as we're moving forward, we're now rarely looking back.
Yeah.
And now that you mention it, I remember when you came in, you were still a young man.
Yeah, yeah.
And you came in with your eyes wide open.
Yeah.
And you were as curious as a kid in a china shop. It was like you wanted to touch everything. Yeah. And there were some things that we said, no, you can't touch that.
Yeah. I was like, please, can I touch it?
And yet, one of the ways that you learn in life is by touching things.
Yeah.
You touch them, you taste them,
yeah.
you see them, you smell them, you hear them.
Yeah.
And it's ironic that we think of you as one of our own kids because we have taught you what the more we teach you, the less we have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I learned from people like Dave Doyle, for example.
Yeah.
Dave Doyle was a fantastic person.
Sure.
He wasn't just knowledgeable, but he was a good person. He had a lot of wisdom.
Sure.
And it's too bad that he's still not around, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And
He saved my butt twice. In fact,
he saved us all at one time or another.
Yeah.
Twice he saved my job.
Mm.
You know, when John wanted me to stay as a contractor and not come on as an employee.
Yeah.
And Dave sat in the background smoking his cigarette, didn't say a word till John walked away. Then he called me over and says, come here. Hey, what? He says, don't you take that offer.
Mm.
Okay? He says, why? He says, because you'll never be hired if you take that offer.
Yeah.
Tell him you want to be an employee now. So I did, and I was there. And then when it came time for, I don't know if I should mention names on here, a couple other guys that I worked for.
Sure.
They were trying to change the whole department. And I think it was because one of them, I made more money than him.
Sure.
He wanted me out.
Yeah.
And they were doing away with my job. So they gave me the choice. First, they were just going to lay me off.
Mm.
And then Dave Doyle stepped up and said, hey, I hear you guys are trying to lay Leroy off. And they said, well, yeah, we're doing away with his job. Well, I'm ready to retire. Give my job to Leroy. Yeah, if he wants my job, I will retire and he can have my position.
Yeah.
They told me that, and I didn't believe them. So I went to Doyle and I said, hey, what's the deal? He says, no, I'm done, Leroy. I'm ready to go. You take over and you keep your job. You got a wife and kids and whatever.
Yeah.
And when I went back and told a certain individual that I was staying.
They were pissed.
Pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there wasn't a thing they could do about it. You know?
No.
But, you know, it's like these younger guys they don't have any respect or anything for older people, you know?
Yeah.
Because you know what? Someday.
They're going to be old, too.
They're going to be old, and hopefully they will remember, I remember when I tried to do this to Ray and Leroy.
And it's coming back around.
And it's coming back around by me in the butt now, you know, so.
Now, popular culture would say karma's a you-know-what, you know. I say what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
Then I say, you know, God got a good sense of humor and a long memory.
Yeah, it's, Dave was a unique individual. I don't want to overemphasize his importance in our life, but he was a rock to lean on, stand on, depend on.
Yeah.
But he was like the rest of us. He was human. He wasn't.
Yeah.
He couldn't walk on water, but he was a good guy.
He looked out for us.
Oh yeah, and that's why I looked the way you guys are because. For Dave, when I got a chance to know Dave, I mean, for those who know, Dave was like our predecessor. He was like our teacher back when I first came on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'd already been in with Abbott at that time, ACS, probably almost 10 or 20 years himself, when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, he didn't last too long health-wise after he left Abbott, but he used to teach us all the things. I remember him walking around watching me do bunch downs and putting phones in and do whatever projects I had as a quote-unquote engineer. And he had so much wisdom.
Yeah.
He never made you feel bad one way or the other.
No.
Never overstated himself. Very low-key.
You know, I went to a class. You and I went to Torrance together, didn't we?
Torrance. NEC class?
Don't remember going to one in Torrance.
Okay. Well, I went to Torrance to a class. And I took the test. Yeah, we went together because I missed a whole page of answers. Mm. So when I turned it in, I said, well, that was easy. But I failed the class. I didn't get a passing grade on it.
Yeah.
And I came back and I realized I thought I told you, but I it was just Dave that I told.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Dave. I said, he said, how'd the school go? And I said, I blew it. I said, I just realized that I didn't answer the questions on one of the pages.
Sure.
And I said, so I'm probably not going to get a passing grade on it because it was like 20 questions on each page.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, did you learn anything? Yeah. And I said, oh, yeah. And he said, then you passed.
Yeah.
He said, if you had gone there and not learned a thing,
yeah.
He said, then you would have not learned anything.
Yeah.
But it was just that right there. That was a little confidence booster.
Sure.
Because it was a silly thing to do, was to not go through it. I was so arrogant that I went through that so quickly.
Sure.
That when I saw everybody else still, I had already turned it in. And when I was walking back to my desk, I'm looking around and everybody's still answering questions. And I thought, I couldn't have been done that fast.
Yeah.
And I turned around and looked at the instructor and he just looked at me. He just gave me the visual that, okay.
Come on back, dude.
Yeah, you blew it.
Just the whole page.
Yeah.
You know, it's just don't do that. Yeah, you know, back in the day, Guidant gave us all a little clock on a green granite-type rock thing.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, Dave Doyle, when he left, he took his clock, but that little insignia, I mean, the little thing on the back that has the engraving about...
Yeah.
It fell off and it was on his desk. Well, I got a hold of him and I says, Dave, you took your clock, but this, you know, this brass little thing back there with your name on it came off of it. Do you want it? He says, nah, forget it. So then I thought, well, here you left and just saved my job. I had that thing in my work shed since that on my cabinet.
Yep.
Because every time I look at it, I think about it. Man taught me a lot and he saved my ass twice. So it's like,
funny is in bring up, and we spent a lot of time talking about people who made an impact on your guys' lives, who made a history in your lives.
Right.
When we're raising our kids, we want our kids to do the same with us.
Right.
And that's why I've been spending time here making sure that you guys were on with me, because I want your kids to be able to say, if nothing else, they have one at least recorded time when they heard their dads on air or peers, some form of recording.
Yeah.
If you wanted, what would you want your kids to know about you right now that you're not sure, that they know for sure, but you know what? I need them to know this about their dad.
Mm. I want them to know that I love them.
Yeah.
And that's something that kids, they hear it.
Yeah.
But as a father, you always wonder if they heard it. And will they feel it? I want them to hear me say that.
Yeah.
So that they know that everything I tried to do for them, I tried to do it in their best interest.
Yeah.
Even if it was hard. As a kid, I grew up with the old saying that this spanking is going to hurt me more than you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you didn't believe it. You heard it. But you didn't believe.
Sure.
But it's true.
Yeah.
When parents have to be parents and not just their friend, it does hurt to try to correct them. And you hope that they listened. One of the things that I'm experiencing with my kids now is they did listen.
They are
listening.
That's good.
But I want them to know, whether it's this recording or when I tape it and give it to them before I go, is that I love them and I want nothing but the best for them.
Yeah.
And I want them to pass that on to their children and their grandchildren.
What about you, Leroy?
Well, you know, that reminds me of my dad when he was getting close to leaving this earth. He was sick. And him and my brother were over my house, and we got into a discussion about relationships. See, I never told my dad I loved him. Mm. He never told me he loved me, and we never hugged each other until I married Shauna.
Wow.
Shauna's family was like the family that was this tight.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when your brother-in-laws come up and hug you, and they're all, you know, they're Italians, and give you a kiss on the cheek, and you go, what the hell? And, you know, and she tells me, that's my family.
Yeah.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
So then I started figuring, okay, if their family is like that, why isn't my family like that?
That's good.
So we brought it up one day to my dad.
Yeah.
But how come, you know, do you love us? My brother just straight on asked him, do you love us, Dad? Of course I love you. He says, well, how come you never tell us? Well, I didn't think I needed to. I mean, look what I've done for you kids.
Yeah.
And my brother says, well, I love you every now and then. Would have went nice along with it. Would have been the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things that, so now my kids tell me and I tell them every time I talk to them that they love me or I love them.
Sure.
You know, and I always tell my kids, my daughter's going through a thing right now and she's like, she didn't want to change. There's one thing she's doing in her life.
Sure.
Because she thought that she would disappoint us. Mm. And it's like, no. Well, you know, it's like,
you know,
it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
Literally. That brings up another point I want our kids to know. His kids are almost like mine too.
Yeah.
Because I've known Leroy longer than I know him.
Oh, yeah.
But I want them to know that I trust them.
Yeah.
I trust their judgment. And don't ever worry about disappointing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I trust you and I love you.
And that's it. That's the main thing. History in the making. Being history makers, you have to make sure that you understand your past. Because otherwise you're never going to know where you're going in the future. You're going to be left side, right side. Why do you need to bump your knee, your toes on the curve left or right? Knowing your history helps you stay in the middle of the road. Helps you stay on the straight and narrow, as you said. I didn't know a lot of things until I looked at my past. It helps me keep going forward. Again, you're listening to the Raising Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, again in studio. Ray and Leroy, and we'll be right back.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. I got some feedback while we were coming out of break. I talk too fast. That's one thing I'm working on. Ray made sure I knew. And you're talking too fast.
Yeah.
Slowing down. You know, my mom used to talk really fast.
Yeah.
She says she got it for when she grew up with 11 kids, nine girls and two boys, I believe, is the way it came up or something like that. And she always used to say, if we didn't talk really fast, we couldn't get our point across.
That's
couldn't
right.
get in the conversation, get out of the conversation. I was like, dude, but I don't have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, do you have that many kids? Raise your hand and you'll get your turn. Otherwise, dad or mom's not going to know what's going on.
Yeah. So many hands in the air. Like, look, just go somewhere.
Yeah. I know. You know, it's like sometimes when we'd get in trouble when we were little, you know, the three of us are like,
yeah.
And everyone's talking, and dad would say, quiet.
Yeah.
Start with the oldest first.
Yeah.
You know, and then go down around the circle, you know.
Well, if my kids start doing that in my house, I'm like, look, I can't hear two people at once. You know, one person at a time or nobody talks. I just can't do it. It's just, it's too much.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about it? Dealing with your kids, husband, wife, kids, people. Best day being a parent.
Best day being a parent?
Yeah.
I think for me was when I watched him being born.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I mean, my first two.
Yeah.
Back in the day,
yeah,
you weren't allowed to be around your wife when she was giving birth or having contractions or anything. You sat out on the side.
Yeah.
My first one with this wife, with Shauna,
yeah,
I got to go to Lamaze and watch her being born. Wow. Let me tell you something about Lamaze. Okay?
Yeah.
You know my wife is younger than me.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So when I went to Lamaze and sat there and saw what a woman went through.
Yeah.
To have a baby and give birth,
yeah,
whole new respect, okay? And I think, and I'll take this to my grave,
yeah,
young kids, say a freshman in high school, should have had that Lamaze class taught to them. They should know what a woman goes through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the men should know what they go through, and the women should know what they're going to have to go through.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would change your attitude a whole bunch. You know?
Oh, yeah. Because
right now it's like, huh. I'm not the one pregnant. What do I care?
Yeah.
You know, but if you care for somebody,
yeah,
you say, oh, my God, your body does that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah. So it's you're like, gonna put them. You're going to put them through that.
Yeah.
And
it's like.
And it should only happen between people who love each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because you want to roll in the hay. You have to want to do this because you love each other. She loves you and is willing to give you your children.
Sure.
And you love her
because
you're going to stand by her while she brings your children into the world.
Yeah.
It's mutual respect.
Oh.
And a lot of that has been lost.
Oh, man.
It's been lost.
That's huge. And that loss comes from the fact that our fathers aren't around and aren't present. Because as time has gone on financially, so many fathers have either chosen to check out, or everybody's got to work so much that even if the father's not present in the home, the mothers are trying to do so much and there's just kids raising themselves.
But I think a lot of that has to do with us wanting material things.
Yeah, yeah.
Our parents and grandparents.
Sure.
You knew, even though they were not openly affectionate with each other in front of you, you knew that your dad loved and respected your mother.
Oh, yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
She was willing to put up with a lot. You know, he would go out and have a few drinks with the boys and come home and he was a little plastered. And she put up with it, but she also had that frying pan real close by, you know, and wasn't afraid to use it. And he was afraid she would use it.
Sir.
So those are things that didn't happen very often, but there was, you could take it for granted that your mom and dad respected each other, even if they didn't show open affection for each other.
Yeah.
And we have lost a lot of that in our desire to have more material things.
Yeah.
Because I remember us, now this goes back a ways, we would go to the park on the weekends. We'd go on Saturday or Sunday. Either if it was on Sunday, it was either, and always after church.
Yeah.
But we would go to the park. And we didn't have ice chests in the matter of speaking. We had lunch baskets or paper bags.
Yeah.
So what did we do? We took boiled potatoes, boiled eggs, made bologna sandwiches with nothing in there because you didn't want it to spoil.
Right, right.
But you had to try to keep them as cool as possible. Because once that bologna starts to smell sour,
it has a first name, huh?
That's the first. You knew you weren't going to eat. But anyway, it was Or my mom would fix fried chicken if it was available.
Sure.
Because back in the 40s and 50s, and even the early 60s, a lot of this stuff was not available like we have today.
No.
Today, we're a throwaway society, and we seem to do the same thing to our relationship that we do to everything we have.
Yeah.
If you haven't earned it, you don't appreciate it. And you have to earn a relationship to appreciate it. You have to earn whatever you buy to appreciate it. Because when somebody just gives you stuff, and it goes right back to what Leroy was saying, what have I given you? Well, you gave them everything, but you didn't tell them that you loved them.
The parts that are really important.
Those are so important that the two of them meet in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up the same way he did.
Yeah.
We didn't show a lot of affection to each other until we got married.
Yeah.
And we saw how other families interacted. All of a sudden, I'm getting hugs and I'm getting kisses from people I don't even know.
Yeah.
But that was, they were accepting me into their family.
Sure.
And it helped me mold and shape my family.
Yeah.
And I passed that down to my kids.
Sure. Best day as a father?
Wow. I would have to agree with Leroy, watching your children being born.
Yeah.
Because I married twice.
Sure, sure.
And my first family, we used to have a waiting room. The fathers waited in the waiting room.
Sure.
And there was a telephone in there. And when your child was born, the phone would ring. Somebody would pick it up and they'd say, "Hey, Ray, it's your kid." And I get on the phone and my wife says, "Well, your son is in the nursery. You can go look at him. He's number XYZ or whatever the number might be."
Yeah.
So in my second marriage, I got to see my son born.
Yeah.
And that was quite an experience.
And with your wife, you guys had some challenges to get him to get to the born part.
Yeah. Yeah, because we both had issues that had to be corrected.
Sure.
And she had more issues than I did. And
I didn't have issues.
That was quite an ordeal to go through.
I can imagine.
I was told not to hold her hand anymore.
But we had...
you look at your wife from across the room, she was pregnant.
Yeah. Every time Leroy looked at his wife, she was pregnant. You know, so. But Crystal had a lot. Had she been born 100 years ago, she'd never have any children.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she had a lot of corrective surgery.
But the thing I think for people should take away from this time is the investment of time is what's important.
Yeah.
And not taking anything for granted, because there's never a point you can always say that, "Oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow."
No.
You both have had enough health concerns where you can go, "You know what? I'm not sure my tomorrow's coming."
Right.
You know, and we all used to work with Rick Laidlaw.
Mm-hmm.
And that day that he was on a job, got sent to the city to do a job, and he never showed up.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
What's his name? The guy we used to call Elvis Presley from NEC.
Yeah.
We were in Indianapolis, and he was in, Atlanta.
Yep, yep.
And we're waiting for him to call, and we call him, and no answer, and we find out that he's in a hospital because he had a heart attack.
Yeah, but that was days later.
Yeah.
I forgive me for, and I'd probably be an overbearing guy. I used to call you guys. Did you make it to the site yet? Somebody let me know that you made it. From that time on, because I was like, dude, I need to know if families need to be contacted. Did you make it? When I got out there, I was, "Hey, I made it." Somebody let you know who's on the ground.
Right.
Because that's an important thing.
Yeah.
That's all part of communicating.
Oh, yeah.
Not just telling your wife that you love her, but tell your friends that, okay, I mean, you know, my oldest son, I've learned one thing from him already, and that is when I get home, I let people know, like, when I get home from here, I'll probably send you a text real quick and say I'm home and I'm safe.
Because that's I think it's an outstanding thing, because if anything happens along the way, people are going to be like, well, who was the last person that saw him? Anybody know what his path was? I don't know.
Yes, I know. So our kids are taught, my kids,
yeah.
You text us when you get home.
Yes.
Yeah. You text us when you get here.
Yeah.
So now that Eddie's living with us,
yeah,
and Sean and I leave the house, he goes, text me when you get there.
Yeah.
I look at him and goes, hey, so if I got to do it, you have to do it.
Yeah.
And don't give me this, you're the grown-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah. Sean says, fair is fair.
Yeah. You know,
so. Yeah. Yeah. Matt does that now. He gets irritated when you say, like when he was still at Camp Pendleton, we used to say, let us know when you get there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now he's in Arizona.
Yeah.
And now he wants to know when we got home.
I ain't mad at you. We're going to take our last break. Man, I hate breaks. But you know what? You got to do. It's historical even to have a break in a show like this. Again, you listen to the Raising Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, in studio. Ray Bengan, Leroy Rodrigues, talking about history in the making. Making, you know, owning your place in history. Owning your place in time and understanding that history is what it is. But if you don't use it wisely, it's going to ruin your future. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drugged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoba, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
All right, we're back to the Raising Men Show. And again, this is Craig Carlisle, your host. And we're in our final segment with Leroy and Ray. And we're talking about history in the making, owning your place in history. Guys, tell me, if you could go back and tell your younger selves, your kids, anybody that'll listen, scream it from the rooftop, what would you have done in your earlier years that would have made your life right now that much sweeter?
I know what I'd do. I'd have paid attention to school a lot more, and I would have went to college, you know? And then when I got a job, I would have made sure that I set myself up for the future, for my retirement.
Yeah.
I think those are the two biggest mistakes I made. Mm. Not going to school. See, like all my kids from this marriage are all getting educations.
Okay.
I mean, Matt's got an MBA in engineering. He's got he's got his PE, which is a professional engineering degree.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got, what's the other one? He's got a master's in environmental engineering. You know, the guy has never stopped going to school since he was five, you know, but now he's finally stopped, you know. And I've tried to tell my kids, you know, pass on to them, you know, education. Well, Eddie's going to school now. You know, Liana's starting on her master's.
Sure.
She's doing her master's now. But you need to put away for the future. And if you can get an education to get a better job, you need to do it. Because I know nowadays a lot of people put their hands out and somebody always puts something in it.
Sure.
But it's not going to be enough. And then one day, they may not be there to put anything in your hands.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
You should never reach out to have something put in your hands. You should reach out to work for something.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
That's good.
That's good. What about you, Ray? What would you tell your younger self?
My younger self, I would tell myself to listen.
That's good.
And understand that older people do have some wisdom. They do.
Yeah.
And I reflect back now that a lot of my mentors were World War II veterans.
Mm.
So that goes back. I'm in my 70s. So at this point, back in the 60s and the 50s,
sure,
I was mentored by a man named Bill Stringer and Emmett Love.
Sure.
And Tullio Benazzi. I remember these guys like it was yesterday. Every one of them had an impact on my life because my parents were divorced when I was really little. Sure. So I had very little contact with my father.
Sure.
So, but when I think about what they used to tell me, I said, I always tell myself I should have listened and followed their directions. One of them even told me at what age to get married.
Really?
He said, don't get married before you're 25. I married at 23.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You're
that
old.
Marriage didn't really pan out as well as I had hoped it would.
Sure.
And Emmett, you know, God bless him. He saw some horrific things in World War II. He was in the Navy. And he was on those ships that got hit by kamikazes.
Mm.
And he saw some horrific things, but he was telling me about it. But what breaks my heart is I wasn't listening to him because it didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
And I thought, how bad could it be?
Sure.
Well, I spent my time in the military.
Yeah.
I saw anything like what he saw.
Sure.
But I remember what he told me.
Sure.
Then when you watch these documentaries of World War II,
sure,
it finally hits you. I should have listened and investigated it.
Yeah.
And Tullio taught me a lot about life, taught me a lot about mechanics.
Yeah.
I worked with him when I worked at Seagram's.
Sure.
He had the hands of a surgeon.
Wow.
He was really a great guy. He taught me a lot about fishing.
Sure.
He taught me a lot about life while we were fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember one time in particular, we were out fishing in the Delta. And it was so ungodly cold out there. We literally had an ice ring on our fishing line. It was that cold.
Wow.
We were sitting there drinking brandy. And he turned around and he looked at me and he says, you know, if my mother told me to do this, I'd think she was nuts. He says, go out there and go fishing. You're going to have fun. And we were so cold.
Sure.
We finally decided to give it up. And we were fishing on a river. But for some reason, that water line kept hitting our fishing line.
Sure.
And little ice would start, and it had a ring of ice around it, about the size of a quarter.
Wow.
But those are the things that I would have paid more attention to.
Sure.
Emmett and Bill Stringer he taught me a lot about mechanics, a lot about welding.
Sure.
These are the things that kids aren't learning today. And like I said before, as soon as I saw the improvement in the economy, the first thing I thought about was Leroy and you, Rick Laidlaw, oddly enough, and some other people that we worked with that knew how to work with their hands and their head.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? These kids out here right now, these young millennials, they have no idea. We need to open a school and teach these kids just how to use your hands.
Yeah.
And but anyway, that's what I would have changed.
That's what I'm teaching my kids now. Oh, no, you're fine. That's what I'm teaching my kids now, to use their hand. I need to teach them how to do schooling, make sure they get that, and a trade, something that they can always make money with, no matter what. And they got to be able to think reasonably. A lot of the games they're playing right now, they don't teach them how to think and problem solve. No. It's just follow the plan, and you get off the game, and it's like, what happened to the common sense?
Well, that's what my dad used to say. A lot of times when you go to these guys, especially engineers, I told my son this too. My son was an engineer.
Yeah.
You know what your grandfather used to say? Engineers are book smart like you can't believe.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they leave their common sense back in the classroom.
Yeah.
He says, so I told Matt, one thing you got to do, son, you're going to be, you know, because he's smart anyway.
Sure.
I know you're smart, and you know, it's proven fact to do all your stuff. I says, but Don't ever lose that common sense, he says, because, and he's told me a couple of times, Dad, yeah, some of these guys is like,
yeah,
what are they thinking?
Yeah.
It worked out on the book. It's got to work. No,
because common sense ain't common. You know, it's taught. It's acquired. Mm. Okay, we're running out of time. How do you stay intentionally connected to your kids and your family?
How do we what?
Stay intentionally connected to your kids and family.
My kids, before my brother passed away, I used to call him every day. No, I'm sorry, every week. Okay. And I do that with my kids now.
Sure.
Every day I send them a hello. My grandchildren, I do the same thing. How are you? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah.
So I'm leading by example with my kids.
Sure.
I don't wait for them to call me.
Yeah.
I don't sit there biting my breath or biting my lip and say, oh, I wish my kids would call me. Sure. No, I'm going to call them.
Sure.
I'm not going to wait for them.
Yeah.
My brothers, I do the same thing. I'm the oldest brother left alive in our family now. Mm. And my two younger brothers that are left, I don't wait for them. I either text them or call them at least once a week.
Yeah.
And that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Now, I do this. My kids call me all the time, check on me, text on me, like that. My oldest son, who lives far away, he'll text me a lot or call me. Like on his night off, because he's he's a correctional officer up in North Hill. He'll call me up and tell me, hey, Dad, let's call and see what's going on, see if you're doing okay. So I hear from him for a couple of weeks.
Sure.
Or, like the other day, hey, we're going to go ride the quads up in Gorman on April so-and-so.
Yeah.
She would like it if you'd show up, and ride with us and stuff like that.
Sure.
So we're always keeping in touch somehow, And my kids are pretty close to me. Well, a couple of them are pretty busy. Corey and I, we're always out going doing something. We seem to spend a lot of time with each other.
Sure.
So I keep in touch with my kids. If I'm not doing it, they're doing it. Yeah. So I have no slack in that.
I hear that.
Something I'm going to start redoing with my kids and my brothers, and I'm going to start writing them a letter.
Mm, that's good.
That's something that we don't do anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how to write anymore. They either print or type or text.
Yeah.
But sitting down and literally writing a letter, those are things that when my brother passed away, we found letters that he had written and letters that he had received. He'd been hanging on to them for 30, 40 years.
Wow.
And so I thought, this is a good way to stay in touch.
Yeah.
With the snail mail or whatever it is. But get back to letter writing.
That's a good thing. Because kids, especially if you leave notes for them in their bags or anything.
Comes from the heart.
Comes from the heart. And it's memory. It's history. They can always look back on that and say, oh, my dad wrote me this. And my uncle left it. My grandfather left me this stuff.
I found letters that I wrote to my mother.
Really?
Oh.
She kept them?
Yeah. Yeah, she kept them.
Wow.
And
I have letters from a girlfriend I had in high school still.
And Shauna saw those?
And Shauna had seen them, I told her one time, I need to get rid of these. She says, no.
No.
I says, why? She says, those are your memories.
It's history.
She says, nothing. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You got to put away up in the attic.
Yeah.
It's not like you're sitting there and read them every day.
Yeah.
You haven't looked at them in years, but you have them because they're memories. You have other things that are in that box that are your memories.
Yeah.
Your grandchildren are going to appreciate that.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. You can't.
Y'all had lots of girlfriends back in the day, so there's a string of hearts left. I know those stories. Not all of them. I know some of those stories.
Yeah, broken hearts, and
man,
we've had our hearts broken.
Man.
That's
historical in itself. Again, you're listening to the Raising Men Show. Another opportunity to hear about history in the making, being intentional about your relationships, time, investments. Again, if you don't know where you've been, you damn sure ain't going to know where you're going. Man, I appreciate you guys for coming. I love you all being a part of my life, my kids' lives. I need my kids to continue to see you all being active, being in their lives. So they don't just go, I knew those guys from 100 years ago. but because we need to know that.
Yeah.
The kids always need to understand who they are, and why they are the way they are.
Yeah.
Why is a dad crazy? Well, because I work with these guys.
Almost 30 years. You learned it's, well.
I'm trying.
You learned well, Grasshopper.
I appreciate it. Ken, you're listening to The Raising Men Show. We're right here on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. Tuesdays, double times on Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Again, it's 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Again, love you guys.
Love you too, buddy.
Take care.
See you guys next week.
God bless you.
It's been a long time. Preach up. You got it. I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of The Raising Men Show, and I'm back. Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Well, Sandy, the analysis provided by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch shows that events surrounding the shooting of Michael Brown happened in less than 90 seconds. Ferguson officer Darren Wilson was not far from the end.